For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are answering your questions, the first ever Ball Boys Q&A podcast. Let's go!
Jordan open, Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
He beats basketball!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joined once again with my good friend Callum Mack, the guru himself. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, man. I'm excited for today's pods. We got a Q&A session which goes out to all the fans out there who've stuck by us, asked some questions. We're going to answer some of the good ones that we got on your previous uploads. So, excited to just touch base with the fans. We'll do some shout-outs, so get ready.
Thank you for everyone who submitted their questions. If we haven't answered them yet, there's a good chance that they're not going to be on our podcast. Otherwise, I've tried to get to a few in the comments section if I thought it was just a quick one that I could answer. But let's dive straight into it. Thank you again for asking the questions, and we always like to have a chat, so leave a question in the comments on this video. If you have anything, if you want us to have a look at your team, hit us up on social media, Instagram, Twitter, whatever the case may be. Love talking fantasy. Let's go into the first question here. Bit of a strategy-based question by Kevin NG. He asks, is it better to punt a certain category based on your first-round pick, first-round pick player or for the first 2 to 4 rounds, or is it just better to go with the best player available and then build your punt strategy in the middle to later rounds? Bit of a tough question here because I don't know if there's a clear answer here. What's your take on this type of strategy, Cal?
Yeah, I think it really does depend on essentially who your first pick is, so you know what direction you're going in. For example, like if you get Giannis, we know you're punting free throws. Yeah. You need to home in and focus on that. Same with maybe a Luka Doncic. You could salvage it, but for players when you want to punt field goal, when you're getting Fred VanVleet in the second round, the man didn't shoot over 40%, you know it's going to be pretty bad. Yeah. So I think it really just depends on who you get in the first few rounds. If you get someone like, let's say, Kevin Durant, or if you get someone like Steph Curry, who can be pretty balanced, gives you a bit of everything. Obviously, Curry doesn't have the blocks. Durant's probably a better example of that. You can kind of mold, just take the best guys available for, let's say, the first 5 rounds or something. And then when you're looking at your team, you're like, oh, you know what? I lack big men. I'm just going to go for a different route now and maybe punt some of the big men's stats. That is something you can do. But yeah, I think fundamentally it really does depend on who you are drafting in the first few rounds to really shape your team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there's, like you said, I think Giannis is one of them. As soon as you get him, it just makes total sense. He goes from the 11th or 13th ranked player, I think it was, to the second, as soon as you punt that one category. So bang, you're just getting a lot of value there and it shapes your draft. I think Damian Lillard is another one because he is so good in a few stats, but rebounds, field goal percentage, blocks are all not quite there. So he's someone that I will automatically go with. Like you said, players like Kevin Durant, Karl Anthony Towns, Jokic to a certain degree, Steph Curry, even like a Tatum. Like those kind of players are a bit more flexible. You can go different directions. You could grab a guard. You could grab a big. You could grab a Jimmy Butler and punt the threes. So Or you might even go balance in your second pick, and it might just be, you know, not until your third or fourth pick that you really discover, okay, these types of players are falling. Let's go with this build. So I think whilst it's not a concrete answer, if you like, I think those players that we mentioned, if you're getting those ones, it is pretty clear that you're punting certain categories from the get go. Is there anyone else that you think I've included? Or what about like an Embiid, Anthony Davis? Look, you can still be flexible because a lot of bigs don't shoot threes and get assists, but those are their weakest categories. But again, probably not completely locked into that. If someone else falls, for example.
Yep. And then like a Karl Anthony Towns could be a good example of that. You could still he still gets about 5 assists a game, 4.5 is pretty solid. You can still maintain that.
Yeah.
Even though that's one of the lowest in the first round with Joel Embiid. So it, look, I feel like when you draft your player, you have to know what punts can cater for him. But if you just want to, you know, get the best available for the first few rounds and then something stands out like, oh, I'm pretty empty in the assist category, just lock it in and just punt that category.
Yeah. A good example would be like I did a mock draft on the weekend and I took Kevin Durant in the first round, notoriously well-balanced and good at everything. So just sort of waited to see who came to me in the second round. Jimmy Butler was still there and I thought he was the best player available at that point. So as soon as I took Jimmy Butler, I decided, okay, from now on, I think I'm going to punt threes because Kevin Durant, yeah, he shoots like 2 threes a game or 2.5 threes a game, but compared to Steph, compared to Damian Lillard, even Towns, they all shoot over 3, 3.5, sometimes 5 in Steph's case. So he's not up there with the elite, so I'm not taking away a huge chunk of his value. And in Jimmy's case, he doesn't shoot nearly any threes, so I'm boosting a lot of his other stats and his value there. So it was that moment that I decided that that's what I'm going to do based on who was available in the second pick. But it is important to be flexible, you know, give yourself options because you don't know who's going to be there and you might be potentially losing out on value if you just go, all right, I'm punting this and this is what I'm doing and I'm just putting the blinders on. That's not the best way to draft, in my opinion, unless you've got someone like a Giannis. That's to say that you can't draft good free throw shooters with Giannis because if someone's at that good of a value, then they're there. You just take them. It doesn't matter. You don't have to draft exclusively bad free throw shooters. Let's go on to the next question. I'm sorry again if I butcher anyone's name, by the way, but this one was asked by Quasi AR. Any good centers near the, assuming he means rounds here, near the 9th to 11th round slots? Some guys that can bring decent value to 9 category leagues. What are your thoughts? Picks rounds 9 to 11. So we're looking at like the 85 to, what's that, 100, 120 sort of range, maybe a bit later?
Yeah, in my brain, when I interpreted the question, I thought it was maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, probably later, outside the 100. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking about the 100 range and who's outside of that, who could be pretty good. We touched on him in the last pod. Go check that out. Mo Bamba has been balling out recently. If you can pick him up, I think that's a pretty solid bet. We even brought him up before, Steven Adams. He's been looking a bit rejuvenated. He's looking pretty solid. I think it's a good fit for that team. I think his rebounds and points will be up from previous years, especially the rebounds. So if you need rebounds in that late time after the 100, I think Steven Adams is a good contender. Trez Harrell as well is outside the 100. Just with the whole Thomas Bryant, they might rest a bit longer just for the early season. I think he can get good minutes with Gafford because he does get into foul trouble. Trez will go off for some games, honestly. Like he'll go for some 20 and 10 with 3 blocks. It will happen. He's having a pretty good preseason as well. He's always been a bit of a per minute monster anyway. So even if he's coming off the bench, he will deliver fantasy. And my last guy, I put LaMarcus Aldridge down he's more of a flyer, really. For the 9 to 11 slots, it's more your 11 slot, LaMarcus, just because if he does start, I mean, he could put up some pretty good numbers. He was actually putting up good numbers at the Nets before he retired.
Yeah, no, yeah, he was, and then he fell off a cliff and stopped playing basketball. But it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I'm not as enthused with Aldridge personally, but I like the other guys you mentioned. I'll throw in a couple other names. Some of them are close to the 100, so maybe a little bit earlier than what we're talking here. Nerlens Noel, I really like there as well, just with everything going on with Mitchell Robinson. Daniel Gafford. I think Gafford and Bamba are very close in ranking to me, depending on what you're after. If you want a bit more threes, maybe a little bit more risk to it, then Bamba maybe has the higher upside. But I think Gafford's floor is probably a bit higher, especially early on in the season. So I think those two have a lot of upside at this point, both going around that 100 mark or just after. A bit later, I really like Isaiah Roby from Oklahoma City. I think he's going to be the starting center over there. He's still young. He's another year more experienced. So I think he's going to take another step forward. He's not competing with Moses Brown and Al Horford anymore. I'm not worried about Derek Favors. I don't think he's going to get featured the same way that Al Horford was last year. So he's someone who I regularly target as sort of like my last second or last pick of the draft. I think he's ranked outside the top 150. So someone who I look to target there. Anyone else you think we missed?
I think we definitely take some good boxes, but I think overall these guys, when you get to that round, they kind of are to some degree a bit more flies. They're not rock solid like some of the other guys. And bigs are hard to come by. So need to reach a little bit in the earlier rounds to get someone you like.
There is that massive center run in the middle rounds, and I do recommend having at least two centers, especially if your league is like a two-center league, having two solid centers that you can rely on before, say, pick 70, 65 even, because then after that, it does get real dicey and there's a lot more risk involved, so that would be my recommendation. Let's go on to the next question, and the next question comes from John. What's our outlook? It's a nice simple name. What's your outlook on the Raptors' centers this year? He follows it up with, is Boucher worth the value where he's going? And are we drafting Birch or Achua in a 12-team league? I'll throw it over to you for this one.
Firstly, thank you, John. You know who you are, my friend. Thanks for commenting. Great name. Really outside the box. Now, Boucher.
Poor John, just ask a question.
Boucher, look, you guys know I'm off him. I think the value won't be there. He's a permanent kind of guy, yes, but in terms of a head-to-head league, I wouldn't really be picking him up unless Birch or Chua went down. He could be the third string center for all we know. I don't really know what lineups are going to put out there, but I really like Precious. He's starting to look pretty good in the preseason. I'm not too sure who has the starting lineup at this point for the regular season, but in preseason, Chua seems to have it. That points in the right direction. So in terms of a late kind of flyer, I'd happily pick him up. The defensive stats should be there. He should get rebounds. Birch, again, I'd probably at this point have him on my waiver wire. If he does get the starting role, I would be picking him up pretty quickly.
Yeah, look, I guess I agree with you. I am higher on Boucher than you are. I think Boucher is in that range of Bamba and Gafford to me. I think they're all kind of similar players, like permanent beasts. We're worried about game time and minutes played, but the upside is there if they get minutes. And we've seen Boucher do it, so there's no questions there. His injury, he looks like he's not going to miss too much time. He might only miss like a couple of games at the start of the season with his finger injury. And we know that, so he's going to come back before Pascal Siakam, which is good. And they kind of see him more as the power forward, is my understanding of it. So maybe he gets a bit of small ball center. So he's got a bit of flexibility that way, which helps his path to minutes. But I'm definitely lower on him this year than I was last year. So for me, he is, you know, that 100 kind of range. Let me just check his rank real quick to see if it is worth around where he is getting drafted. On Yahoo, he's at 78. So yeah, I think that's too early. For Boucher, I think I'm more comfortable closer to 100. So, but I would still be drafting him over the other two. But yeah, I think Precious, you can take a flyer on him. I'm not super excited. I think they'll kind of like split minutes really, and I don't see them as like permanent beasts like a Boucher. But if I was choosing between Birch and Precious, I am choosing Precious. All right, let's move on to the next question from Yosemite Ham. Who do you expect a bigger season from, Bamba or Gafford? We've kind of touched on this one already. I think you said you were in the Bamba camp.
I am. I'm going Team Bamba this year.
Do you reckon they're gonna start him, or what do you think's happening in terms of the lineup? Like, because they mentioned they started Wendell Carter Jr. and him together. Do you think that happens much, or what's your thoughts there?
I still kind of think he will have the 25 minutes per game, regardless. Even if he's coming off the bench, I think him and Wendell, either of them, if they start or if one comes off the bench, they're just going to showcase both, give them both some pretty reasonable minutes because they're kind of tanking. They don't really mind. So I think if he puts up 25 minutes a game, he will be a permanent beast. Gafford gets into foul trouble a bit more. We don't know. Look, maybe Bamba will. There's no big sample size for him. But Gafford with Thomas Bryant coming back towards the end of the year, maybe December, January. You also got Trez Harrell, who could steal some minutes from him when he gets hot against certain lineups. Trez, like, he's a permanent guy as well. So I'm definitely more confident Mbamba, weirdly. That's just because his fantasy ceiling is a yeah. lot higher.
I think his fantasy ceiling is higher. I'm the word confident. I'm more confident in Gafford, but the payoff probably isn't as big, and there might be a window where it's not, you know, when, as soon as Bryant comes back, it does cloud things. I think you've got a good bit of time. It's not going to be till Christmas, I don't think. So you've got at least a couple of months there where he's going to put up good value. So they're really close. I could be persuaded. At this time, I'm like just Gafford, but it's not much. So if you want to go with Callum, if Callum's, I think Callum, you seem more passionately at one side. So I guess as a podcast, we're going on the Bamba side.
That's it. Let's go Team Bamba. Let's jump bandwagons.
Let's do it. All right. This next question is a very interesting one. The Beat Farmer asks us for our top five sleeper picks. Most value to be gained from the ADP. So not necessarily late round sleepers, but who do we think is just the best value in drafts throughout the entire draft? So let's go one for one. I've got five. You've got five. Some of them might be the same. I've seen yours, but you haven't seen mine yet. Who's your first top five sleeper pick?
Look, I will just say with a bit of a disclaimer, I've kind of just ranked it from just on the Yahoo ranking, yeah, so that makes sense. So earliest to latest. So I think
they dictate where players get drafted more than anything. So I think that's fair.
Exactly. And look, I think maybe we'll have a couple matches here, yeah, potentially.
We might.
Number one for me is Clint Capella.
I like it.
Still at 41 on Yahoo. You look at Basketball Monster, the last season, he was ranked 23. If you punt assists, he's a top, pretty much like a top 15 guy. If you punt three throws, he's up in, I think, the top 10. So he's huge.
I think we said fourth, right? I think a few podcasts ago, he was like,
I believe so. Look, that you high. Can fact, I'll fact check it now. But yeah. Look, Clint Capella is a beast. And there's no reason for him to slow down.
Yeah.
He led the league in rebounds. He'll still be there. He'll still get the minutes. He's a great fit with Trae Young. There's no reason for him to slow down. So I'm a big, big fan of his.
Okay, I will absolutely sign this one off. He would be a part of my top five sleepers because you've got someone like...
Fourth ranked in punt 3-3, confirmed.
There you go. There you go. And so if you're getting him in like the fourth round, like that's just awesome value. And chances are if you do draft him, you are going to be at the punt 3-3 team. So yeah, when Rudy Gobert is going in the second round, you've got someone like Clint Capella going in the 40s. I mean... Yeah, sign me up any day of the week. So I think he is excellent value. So co-sign that one off. I'll throw another one back to you. Another big guy. I think Kristaps Porzingis is part of my top five sleepers. Ranked at 48 on Yahoo. I think there is... It was not too long ago, Callum, that we were drafting Kristaps in the second round. And he is someone who can give you threes, points, free throw percentage, blocks, low turnovers. The field goal percentage isn't terrible, so you don't necessarily have to punt the category. I just think he's getting slept on. Yes, the injury concern is probably why he's there, but he's a great player. And if I'm thinking of someone who can jump up the highest in the rankings at this point, Kristaps is at the very top of the list because he's done it before. He's been a top 20 player in the past. So I think that there is definitely a chance that happens again.
Yeah, look, I totally agree. I think last season they kind of test the waters with his injuries, and he was starting to come to his own towards the end of it. So you'd like to think he's come into this 100% healthy and is ready to explode again, get the Mavericks potentially in a home seed. So, yeah, look, fantasy-wise, total unicorn, gets the blocks. The rebounds were kind of surprised last year. Yep. He got up to about 9 rebounds a game, and just because he put on a bit of mass, he's a bigger guy.
Apparently, he's been back in the gym again. We're on muscle watch, and Kristaps has been he's been pumping iron. So I'm seeing a lot of tweets out there.
He has been, and for like a punt build, he actually fits the. I like him in the punt field goal build because he does have some pretty bad weeks. He shoots a fair bit of threes. He only shot 47.6%, which for a big isn't very good at all. So when you get him in a punt field goal, I love Kristaps Porzingis.
Punt assists, he's also very strong in that build as well, I will also mention. All right, let's go throw it out to you for your next sleeper pick.
So I had CJ McCollum, who I'm pretty high on. He was pretty much like a fringe all-star before he went down with the injury last season. He's at 55 on a per-game basis last season. He was ranked 30 on Basketball Monster, and that's just because he was really good in points, 23 points, 3.6 threes a game, which is awesome as well. He have your 4 rebounds, about 5 assists. 3 throws were pretty solid as well. Like, he's just a guy that kind of puts up everything. He's pretty solid. I there are some trade talks, but I think even if he gets traded, he'll still average points and you know, get the assist there. The threes are huge. So, look, I love me some CJ on a head-to-head, and he can explode for 40 points. He can do things like that, which can really help you and carry you in certain weeks. So CJ McCollum, 55 ranked, I think could definitely be a top 40 guy.
Yeah, I like it as well. I'm not going to say that he's part of my top five, but I do think he is a sleeper pick and someone you can get value with. So I will half co-sign that one off. I've got another guard here that I want to bring to the table, and it is Lonzo Ball, who has been pushed out to rank 51 on Yahoo. I think that he's looked great in the preseason, getting lots of threes. The assists, steals, blocks are all there. He's someone that doesn't need a lot of points, a lot of usage to get his fantasy value. And because of that, his percentages that are not the greatest don't affect him as much. You know, when he shoots like literally one free throw a game, and he's even improved that percentage as well, up to 78 last year. So, the percentages I don't care about too much. And someone who can get you over half a block a game from the point guard position, get you those really strong steals. I think the rebounds can come back up on this team as well. It should get over sort of like maybe five or six a game, over three threes a game. I think that he's just an excellent player, especially in that punt field goal percentage build. He could potentially be a top 30 player in that type of build. And if you're getting him outside the top 50, then that's heaps of value. What are your thoughts on Lonzo?
100%. Look, I like him in a punt field goal build. He can fit a fair few builds, punt points, punt free throw. And like his turnovers are pretty good for a guard as well. He's just kind of a good all-rounder.
Yeah.
The punt field goal probably yells at me the most. But he got 3.1 threes last season, which is pretty elite in that category. So, you know, you're pretty safe when you get him there.
He was a beast down
there. I think he's got more of a ceiling this season with the Bulls. I think his upside is definitely... he should outperform what he did last season.
Yeah, he was a beast the second half of last year as well. He wasn't really being used properly the first half of the year, and he really stepped it up as someone who had him on his team last year. Like, his post All-Star numbers were really good. The assists shot up, the steals shot up, the threes went up as well. So I expect more of the second half of last year this coming season on this Bulls roster. All right, quickly give me two more sleeper picks here, Cal. We'll run through them a bit quicker now.
All right, I've got DeJounte Murray.
Give me one more, because on the last one we agree with.
Okay, DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray, yes.
This one I'm looking at right now. Right now he is ranked 56, which is a little bit higher than his per game last season at 66. I think he could explode this season. He could be a top 40 guy. He could lead the league in steals. He's just going to be a solid. He actually put up similar stats to Lonzo, 16, 7, and 5.5. But those 1.5 steals are so elite. He needs to get up there a bit more on three-pointers. That probably is where his downfall is. But in a punt three-point team, DeJounte Murray is awesome for a guard to pick up. And in that build, he's definitely going to be a top 40 value.
Yeah, definitely in that build, he's up there. And, you know, he's got the opportunity in front of him to take a big step forward with the absence of DeMar DeRozan. And the team's sort of his now. Like, he's the face of that franchise, I think, moving forward. So they're definitely going to be pumping the ball through his hand. We've done five already, but we're going to give you a bonus one who I think is probably one of the top sleeper picks. Maybe not. I mean, he definitely was a few days ago when he was ranked outside the top 150, but Jordan Poole, I think we both agree, and we touched on terms of the preseason hype, guys. He is definitely a sleeper pick, and we are both pretty happy drafting him, you know, as high as 90, 85. You try to get him a bit later, try to get a bit more value, but we sort of see him as a top 90 player this season. So I think you would agree, Cal, that he'd be in your top five sleepers.
He would. We did a comparison of him with Trent Jr., who
I think is it was 74. Norm Powell.
Oh, sorry, Norm Powell. Yeah. Norm Powell. Look, they're all similar players. They're actually
traded for each other. Yeah,
they confuse me, honestly. Yeah. Norm Powell's he's ranked 74, and I expect Jordan Poole to put up similar stats.
Yeah,
so I'll end it there.
I like it there. All right, let's move on to the next question. Again, sorry if I butcher your names, but Hafiz Kanji asks, can you order these picks in a head-to-head 9 category 12 team league? Brogdon, Lowry, Sexton, Garland. Haywood and Terry Rozier. This is a bit of a run of point guards in this kind of range. In the mock that I did, there was literally like 7 or 8 point guards picked in a row. So they are all pretty close, in my opinion. But how would you order these ones here, Cal?
Yeah, I actually found this quite hard. I kept chopping and changing. Yeah. It can be maybe to fit your build a bit better. Outside of these guys, probably Rozier and Sexton, for example, won't get the assist that the other guys will. So
yeah,
depends what you're going for. But I've kind of landed with Brogdon as number one, just because of the points. He's a walking kind of 25 and 5. What's similar to Rozier is, but I think he did have some injury stuff last season. I think him and Rick Carlisle could be pretty good in terms of his pro. It could obviously end up being an encouraging push to the maybe closer to 22, 23 points a game. Yep. So I like Brogdon at number one. What about yourself?
For me, at number one of all of these players, I've actually got Darius Garland. We know that I'm a bit higher on him than you are. But yeah, he edges out Terry Rozier just for me. Terry Rozier is a close second for me in this group.
Okay, well, we can agree on Rozier at number two.
Yes.
I went for Lowry, actually, at number three. I think he's dropping too much. Lowry,
I had
think
him
Miami Heat is a great fit.
I had him and Brogdon neck and neck at 3 and 4. Again, Lowry might give you more steals than Brogdon. There's a little bit more of an injury concern with Lowry, so that's why Brogdon went ahead of Lowry for me. You agree with that, having him at number one. So, look. I think he is probably going a bit of value. People are probably a bit scared off of him with some injury concerns. And last year he was obviously shut down, but that won't be happening at Miami.
Yeah. My next pick, I actually went to Sexton next, just because thinking about it with him and Garland, I do have Sexton above Garland. And that's because I still feel that no one really else in the Cavs can score. And the man put up, you know, close to 25 points a game.
I think Garland will disprove that this year. I think he'll be scoring.
You reckon he's over 20 points a game?
I do think so. I think he's over 20 points a game. I think he's like a 21, 22 points per game scorer this year. That's my hot take.
Okay.
I don't know if it's hot take.
Is that a guarantee?
Oh, yeah, fuck it. Let's go.
Guarantee.
Throw it in there. Let's do it. Guarantee. Over 20 points. I'll say guarantee over 20 points for Darius Garland.
Look, I'm not quite there. I think he's more an 18-point guy, and that's okay. Why I still think Sexton is the only guy who can really put up over 20 points a game. So he's still secured. I think if you need the points, get him at that point in the draft. Look, everything else isn't there. I think he kind of hit a ceiling in terms of what his output actually was.
Yeah.
So Sexton does kind of fit certain builds, but I kind of like him.
And so you got Gordon Hayward last then?
I have Gordon Hayward last, but that's only because of the injuries.
Honestly,
it's only because of the injuries. I think he could elevate even above Sexton and Garland if he stays healthy. It's just that injury concern.
See, I guess this is where our different opinion. I think Garland's going to take a step forward, and I think Sexton, as a result, is going to take a step back. And because his value is so predicated on points and field goal percentage, high volume threes, I think that that's going to be a bit of a hit to his value. So I've got Sexton last in this group, and then Hayward second last. So I think we both agree with Hayward, I think, essentially. I think we both kind of agree with Lowry a little bit as well, and Terry Rozier. You're a bit higher on Brogdon. I'm a bit higher on Garland. So that's probably where your decision is. So hopefully, Hafiz, we've helped you out a little bit there, but they're all pretty close. So if you have a guy that you really like, just go out and get him, because I don't think it's too big of a difference, but just know the differences in terms of, like, Sexton's not going to give you as many assists as a Garland. Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry might have higher injury risks if you've drafted a few risky players earlier. So that would be, it would depend on who you've drafted beforehand. All right, nice, quick and easy one from George Reyes. Maxi or Giddy? A little bit easy now with the Ben Simmons news. I think I'm going Giddy here. What are you doing?
Look, I'm Giddy for Giddy. Let's go. I love Giddy.
Giddy he's for a beast. Giddy. I think I've used that joke as well. And it's low hanging fruit. Where are you comfortable drafting Josh Giddy in drafts?
I think actually he fits a punt point build really well.
Yeah.
And then even a punt three build as well. I don't think he's really proving he's going to get a lot of those per game. But the punt, I mean, right now he's 151. I'd be happy maybe value. Considering him at like the 120 mark if I'm in those two certain builds.
He went at like, I think it was 93 in our last mock draft where I was doing the mock draft with a few listeners. I didn't hate it. honestly. He's like the last guy in the draft, really, that's going to give you good assists. And it's just tough. It's such a tough, hard category to get later. So for that reason, even before the Ben Simmons news, where he came back to the team, I was still going giddy over Maxey. Because even if Ben Simmons gets traded, like who comes back in that trade? It might be another point guard. So Maxey was always questionable. Adam from Hoopball was very keen on him and drafted him very early in a few of our mocks, but I never sort of was really there. So I think, yeah, it was always giddy for me. And I'm comfortable drafting him if you have to, if you're really, really desperate for assists, 100. Between 100 and 110. I don't love to go too high on him because his percentage is going to suck. The turnovers are going to be high. There's not going to be many defensive stats. So there are a lot of deficiencies, but the rebounds will be strong. The assists will be strong. I think he'll hit over a three a game. Maybe he'll get a steal. He looked good. He looked good in the preseason, so I don't mind it. Last question of the podcast coming here from Anti Chung. Who are our top waiver wire pickups for the year? Players who we don't expect to be drafted, but will finish strong. What are your thoughts here? It's hard to know who's not going to be drafted because, we're not in your leagues. We don't know how competitive your league is. But if you had to guess here, Callum, who are some people you think might not be drafted that might be worth keeping on a watch list? Let's call this maybe a watch list for this season.
Yeah. So on my watch list, I've got a few guys here to suggest. Firstly is Alperen Sengun, the Turkish MVP.
Yep.
We've talked about him a fair bit. If he gets minutes, he will be a beast. Yes. I love me some Alperen. It's annoying in the preseason that it looks like they're obviously not going to start him.
Yeah.
If he started, he'd be huge. Maybe there's an injury that happens and they get him in there.
Look, I don't think Daniel Tice can hold him off for too long, personally.
Like, exactly. Daniel Tice will be on the trade market. He is going somewhere. When that happens, Sengun will, I assume he'll probably get the starting role. So
I think so.
I'm pretty high on Sengun. I have Markkanen as well. This is a bit of a watch list. He could explode if he gets the starting. Maybe he gets a starting role. I don't know. There could be an injury or something as well. But if he gets good minutes, his points and threes will be pretty good in terms of a waiver wire pick. I then have Fabule as well. Matisse, the Aussie.
Australian.
That's it. I quite like his defensive prowess. In terms of punt points, he could be drafted.
Yeah,
100%. Like he's that good.
I think in competitive leagues, he's getting drafted. Maybe in your casual leagues, he's not because, you know, the points put you off. But those steals and blocks are super valuable.
Exactly. And if he's not getting picked up, just with the whole Ben Simmons drama and fiasco with him resting games, I would expect him to, at this point, definitely have a fair few minutes up his sleeve. So I think the ceiling is pretty high for him this season. I then went to DiVincenzo, who's pretty much out of everything because he's got a bit of an injury thing. Yep. But when he comes back, I would definitely be picking him up. He's one of those guys who doesn't really yell at you in terms of his stats, but in terms of fantasy, it contributes. It's kind of like always a net positive. So he's always a good guy to kind of have on your team, regardless. He'll just hover around that top 100 value. So I'm happy to have him on your watch list when he becomes healthy. And my last pick is Terrence Mann, who, as I said, could be a six-man candidate, could average 18 points a game. I think the Mets will still be there. So I'm going to go. Terrence Mann is my last watch list add.
I think they're all very good options. Yeah, I think they're definitely good watch list guys and definitely a lot of potential there. So I sign off on basically all of those. I'll add a few of my own to the mix. I like Xavier Tillman on Memphis. Just not sure how long Steven Adams is going to hold that job down, and when Xavier gets the minutes, he can put up stats across the board, steals, blocks, assists, rebounds, all very strong. Malachi Flynn, from a guard point of view, I'm not sure how long Goran Dragic is going to remain on this team. Maybe he's traded. He wasn't very gracious to end up on the team after the free agency trade. So I don't expect him to be there all season. So I think Malachi Flynn might be able to step into a bigger role. Nicholas Claxton, who I was very high on early on, but with the signings of Paul Millsap and LaMarcus Aldridge, a lot of older bodies there. So you could look at some injuries. It's going to take some injuries for him to get decent minutes. But if that does happen, he's going to put up solid blocks, field goal percentage, rebounds, all those good big guy stats. And the last guy is KJ Martin Jr. For the Houston Rockets. That starting small forward spot is still kind of up in the air. I don't know if he's going to get it from the bat, but he could prove himself. He's still young. He had a big stretch at the end of the last season where he started getting a lot of blocks, a lot of threes. So I think he does have some potential there and someone that I would keep an eye on. Cool. That'll about do us for today's podcast, guys. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. If you've got more, please pop them down into the comments, leave them down there, and we will answer them whenever we can. Hit us up on Twitter at BallBoysNBA, on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Give the video a thumbs up. And we have got one more podcast coming up before the start of the NBA season, going through our predictions. Okay, so tune in for that one. See you then. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.